Thursday morning, October 13th, another edition of Open Mac, and we'll start on a different note than we have the last few weeks with the news of the passing of really a CCSU legend this week. And there's a lot of them out there, and a lot of, I don't want to say old-timers, but people who have been Blue Devils pretty much for their entire lives. And George Redman passed away on Monday, former football, wrestling, and baseball coach for Central Connecticut. And I know somebody that you know well in your five-plus years here. Talk a little bit about Coach Redman. And he's just, I just saw him at the homecoming game.
George was a wonderful person, had a wonderful family. He was a guy that could motivate a lot of people. And the best attribute that I can always say about any coach is when former players come back and they just love him to a man. To a man, their favorite coach was George Redman. And if you knew George, which a lot of people do, George was not one of these kissy, nice guys. He just told it like it was. And he was very, very competitive. And the other great compliment about George that I could say as a coach, he won in football. He won as a head wrestling coach, and he won as the head baseball coach. George was a winner, and he's going to be sorely missed. I know I'm going to miss him, and I know a lot of people are, and it's a sad day for the Blue Devils.
A tremendous athlete his time at Springfield College, and still going back to, you know, he graduated from Bristol High, and I think there was just one at the time, in 1955, and still looked at and revered as one of their best student athletes of all time. He's in the Bristol Hall of Fame. Was inducted into the Central Hall of Fame back in 2006, and I know a lot of us will be attending the services tonight and tomorrow for Coach Redman, so certainly he will be missed in our thoughts, and prayers go out to him and his family. On to football. Tough week last week. Probably a five-minute span, not even 5 minutes. Obviously, that just changed things completely. You know, it was 28-13. It looked, you know, we hadn't been able to get much going at that point, but then put together two spectacular drives, including one that was 19 plays long. And I don't know if we ever had a 19-play drive go 60-some-odd yards, but a testament to you guys and the way you played. And you were a two-point conversion away from tying the game.
Yeah, it's 28-26. We're going for two with 8:42 to go in a game. And we kick off, and number four goes all the way for a touchdown. Our coverage teams had covered very well all day. I could have kicked away from them. I decided going into the game I was going to test, since it was our coverage units, since it was a non-conference game. And we got to give that young man credit. He scored. And then we drove down the field again, and Gunner threw an interception, and it got returned back for a touchdown. Kind of took the air out of it a little bit.
Well, you look at 42-26, and it's, you know, a game with 8 minutes left. There was a two-point game with a chance to tie. So it's not a... not a 16-point loss when you look back at it. And I don't think, you know, they listed 11,000 people there on band night at UMass. But I don't think any of those people left, you know, thinking they had just won by 16 points. I mean, this is a game all the way to the end.
And it's been our Achilles heel, Tom. We gotta do the little things right. We've won a lot of close games prior to this season. And even this year, the Southern Connecticut and the Wagner game. But we did the little things right. And right now, all we have to do is straighten out and do the little things right, and we'll win games. And the good news is our practice habits have been very, very good. The leadership of the senior class, it's hard to lead when things aren't going great. That's when you see your true leaders. It's easy to lead when you're winning. It's very difficult to lead when you're not winning. And so far, I've seen no cracks in this team, and we just got to keep practicing and moving forward and get the little things straightened out, and nothing but good will happen.
Gunner had a strong day, 93 yards on the ground, but it didn't take, you know, 25 rushes to get that 93 yards. You know, he had a nice long run. He faked out the guy doing the camera for us. He faked out Bruce on the radio. He faked out UMass because he had, I think it was about 33 yards. He rushed down the right side of the field, and that opened up some things. He was able to find Devin Baker. Denzel Jones had some catches. How important is the play of Gunner going forward? Because you got a difficult stretch here. You're going to make that Western Pennsylvania trip twice in the next 13 days or so.
Sandwiched around Albany.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and Albany has to come in next week, and all they are is undefeated in the conference at this point.
I think the key is this. The key is Gunner's got to stop turning, but he's going to be huge. Our rushing, we rushed for 207 yards against the second best defense we played up to this point. The number one defense being James Madison. And the difference in our rushing yards was our quarterback runs. One thing I noticed going into this season, it took me a little bit of while, you wouldn't think it would, but Gunner was our leading returning rusher on the football team. And that was, we had not had a lot of yards with Gunner. Some of that was to protect his hand. You know, when you break your hand in the first game, some of that was to protect him. But we're going to have to ride. Gunner's going to have to make some good decisions, and he has for the most part. He's kind of like, he is Brett Favre in his competitive attitude and his fun-loving wheeling and dealing, but we got to stop turning the ball over. And as long we can punt, it's okay to punt. We just can't let him turn the ball over and go back the other way for some yards. So if we can do that, we're going to win some games.
He takes a lot of it on his own shoulders, and me and you saw that after the game when he went into the post-game press conference on Saturday night. What can you do to help diffuse that a little bit for him to say, hey, listen, it's not all you.
And it's very difficult when you have a competitor like Gunner Jefferson who competes in the classroom just like he does on the football field and everything he does. We have to help him by not putting him in situations where the chances of not executing are high. And one of the things is he's 5'9", and throwing the ball over the middle a lot, you know, sometimes you can't create the windows. He's got a very strong arm. He can throw the deep ball, and we can throw the outside routes, but we got to limit the ball over the middle because the ball will sail on him every now and then. And when it sails on him, they're playing zone coverage, they got a chance for an interception. So we got to do that, and then just calm him down and do this. Go out, let's play some football, and let's get back to doing it relaxed and not putting the pressure on you. And you saw me right before the press conference, and you were there. One thing I love about Gunner, he'll never blame anybody but himself. And I blame myself because I'm the same way. It's my fault. It's not anybody's fault but mine. I could have done something better as the head coach here to prepare him and put him in a better situation. So that's all we got to do. And just relax and not look at the whole season. We're 2-4. We're 1-2 in the conference. We got 5 games left. Let's just look at one game at a time, what's right in front of our face, and that is Duquesne, who's a very good football team. Let's go out there and compete and try to win that game. And go from there.
You'll turn the page and you'll hit the road tonight to head out to Duquesne, travel overnight, really, so the kids can sleep and then kind of get acclimated tomorrow morning. And you'll practice out there.
At 1:30. We're going to practice at 1:30. We'll leave tonight at 10. We'll arrive at 5. The kids will sleep on the bus and then in a bed till 11. Then we'll have a running lunch. Then we'll go to practice at 1, leave the hotel at 1. It takes about 20 minutes. Get there at 1:30. We'll leave the practice facility because we'll set the locker room up at 3:30. Come back and eat a dinner at 4. Have a kicking meeting at 6. Have offensive defensive meetings at 6:45. And then get ready to go to bed. Have a snack because guess what? 12 o'clock Saturday morning will come on us in a hurry. And get ready to play a great game against a good football team in the beautiful city of Pittsburgh.
To turn things around and to stop this 3-game streak, you guys need to do what on Saturday?
One play at a time, and do our very best from one play at a time, not turn the ball over, tackle, keep the ball inside and in front of us, and play 60 minutes. If we do that, we're going to be fine. Saturday night, defensively, we held them. That running back, Hernandez, is a good player, to 76 yards rushing. But they had a 70-yard reverse. Can't do that. And then they had a 60-some-odd-yard flat pass to the tight end in the flat that went for a touchdown. Can't do that. If we take away those two plays, everything's great. You know, we're right there. So we just got to be consistent. I think as I think and talk out loud as I go through this, and we got to be consistent. Just take it one play at a time. We got ability. We got a chance. The challenge for this football team is to do it for 60 minutes and from top to bottom, and that's what we got to do.
Health-wise for Saturday, Looking okay.
Looking okay. And I think we're going to be fine. We got a few guys. Denzel's a little sore, but we'll see where he's at. And Denzel's become a very good target for us. I think we targeted him 8 times. He caught 4 passes. He had 1 drop, 2 were not catchable, and 1 pass interference call. And we feel good about Devin Baker, Raul DeBenedetto, Nicky Baccarella. And I thought Brian Fowler, who's back to being a little more healthy, had a good second half. He's still a little beat up, but had some good power runs. And I thought you saw Xavier Gatti's speed for once. We got out there and got him around the edge and got a big first down. And let's keep grinding at it and getting better, not get caught up in the pass, because the pass is what it is. You got to learn from it. And one of the challenges is just being consistent. If we do that, we're going to be okay.
All right, Saturday kickoff. I think it's scheduled for 12:10.
It is 12:10
on Saturday.
I just had a meeting with Joe Grace. 12:10.
Go 12:10 on Saturday out in Pittsburgh, PA, at Rooney Field in Pittsburgh, and a name certainly synonymous with the Pittsburgh area. The Blue Devils and Duquesne. The game will air on ESPN Radio 1410 and online at ccsubluedevils.com. Bruce Beal and myself will have the call beginning at 11:45 a.m. Coach, we thank you for your time and wish you good luck.
Fire up, baby.